For the last 3 weeks, we've been doing a series here called Unspoken, where we've been looking at the whole idea of mental health and mental health issues and the church. And we started a couple of weeks ago defining mental health and then talking about, in the first sermon, why the church doesn't talk about it, why there's a lot of stigma and shame still in the church. And we talked about that. And last week, if you were here, you know we talked about being fearfully and wonderfully made. And at the end of the sermon, we talked about winning the battle over mental health in a person's life is a complex issue which needs a holistic treatment plan. Well, for the next few weeks, we're going to deal with specific mental health issues. And we're going to start today by dealing with the issue of anxiety. And if you experience anxiety, you're not alone. The top two mental health issues people in North America experience are anxiety and depression. And actually, as I prepared for this series, I was casting an informal poll as I talked to physicians, as I talked to counselors, as I talked to other healthcare professionals and people who dealt with people, pastors and others. And here's what I found out. When I said, what is the number one mental health issues people you deal with experience, the number one issue every single time, way out here above all the others, was anxiety. Anxiety is the number one mental health issue that the people I polled dealt with. Number two, around here, was depression. Everything else was way down here. But the number one, everyone said the number one issue was anxiety. And so what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks is this. We're going to look at anxiety today. And what I want to do this morning is I want to share a little information about anxiety with you. I want to share a bit of my journey with anxiety, and I want to share an amazing scripture. And next week, we're going to look at a psalm. We're going to look at Psalm 127 next week. God has really laid it on my heart. I wasn't planning to speak on this psalm, but God has really laid it on my heart to spend a Sunday just sitting in Psalm 127. And then the next week after, we're going to look at the whole area of depression. So if you're battling anxiety, if you're battling depression, I want to encourage you to be here for the next 3 weeks. And I want to be very transparent with you today and just say anxiety has been part of my journey. And I'll explain why it's been part of my journey in a few minutes, but it's been an issue in my life. I have done battle with it. And so I want to start today by just basically defining anxiety for you. The dictionary definition of anxiety is this: an uneasiness about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Someone has said anxiety is an overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear about something in the future. Anxiety is based in fear, and it is focused on the future. Maybe you're here today and you're anxious about your finances and how you're going to pay the bills at the end of the month. And you're feeling an anxiety about that. Maybe you're here today and you're fearing losing your job in the future, and you're anxious about that. Maybe you went on Plenty of Fish recently if you're a single person and you found somebody you're interested in finding out. And in a couple of weeks, maybe you're going for coffee with that person and you're anxious about meeting this stranger. Maybe you've got a lump. And you're anxious about the outcome of the diagnosis. Like all mental health issues, anxiety exists on a spectrum from normal to a disorder. A certain amount of anxiety in our lives, I believe, is God-given. It's normal to have anxiety around an anticipated, unfamiliar, uncertain event. That's functional. That's normal to have a certain amount of anxiety around that. For instance, if you're going to go to LA with me and you're going to drive in traffic with me in LA when I'm driving, you should feel anxious. Ask Rick Boomer and my wife. They're both still recovering from that. But some anxiety in life is normal, An anxiety disorder is when anxiety is not mild and brief, but it's severe and chronic, to the point where it impedes a person from being able to engage in a normal, productive life. Anxiety disorders can occur at any age. Here are the most prevalent anxiety disorders. The first, and I'll just, these aren't in any order, but here's the top four in North America. Generalized anxiety disorder. General anxiety disorder is characterized by excessive anxiety and worry lasting for at least 6 months. In general anxiety disorder, the anxiety is severe enough to affect the individual's ability to function daily. Panic disorder. Panic disorder is characterized by recurrent panic attacks that strike suddenly and without warning. A panic attack is a distinct period of intense fear that utterly explodes with physical symptoms like heart palpitations, shortness of breath, dizziness, shaking, and a feeling of impending doom. Obsessive-compulsive disorder. OCD is characterized by recurrent thoughts, that's the obsessions, and rituals, compulsions that people feel they cannot control. For instance, an individual with OCD may be obsessed with germs and dirt, and that person is constantly fearful of being contaminated, and so to control the fear to deal with that, they wash their hands like 100 times a day. And then there's post-traumatic stress disorder. Individuals with PTSD repeatedly relive a trauma through nightmares and disturbing memories during the day. The reminders of the trauma are very distressing, impeding a person's daily life. Anxiety is very prevalent, as I've already mentioned, in our society, but I want to give you some good news this morning, and that is that almost all anxiety is treatable. If you're dealing with anxiety this morning, it can be better, much better. I know. I've done battle with this dragon. And so let's talk about doing battle. I want to be very practical this morning. And people have asked me, they say, what's one thing that I can do to overcome anxiety? And I would answer back to you, there is no one thing. But there is a first step. Like with all mental illness, the first step is to acknowledge the reality of your struggle. And a few years ago, when I was battling with anxiety, which I had battled for a long time, when I was battling with it, I finally said, enough. I am not going to live the rest of my days like this. I am going to do something about this. I'm going to do battle, and I'm going to seek to win. And that's your first step. If you're battling anxiety, there comes a point where you need to say enough. I am not going to live like this anymore. And I think to win the battle over anxiety, you need really a four-pronged battle plan. Like we talked about last week, when you're dealing with mental health issues, you need a holistic approach. And I think to win the battle over anxiety, you need a four-pronged battle plan. Now, when I say the word win, that could be different things to different people. Some of you who are battling anxiety, if you strive to do battle with it, you may win in the sense of total victory. You may get total victory over the dragon. Others of you may just get a partial victory. But I guarantee you, if you do battle, you'll be in a better place in a little while than you are right now. Prong number one of the battle plan is this, the physical factor. If you want to win the battle, you need to do some things around your physical body. And I would suggest the first thing you need to do is look at your diet. If you're drinking massive amounts of caffeine, if you're drinking Red Bull like crazy, and you're anxious, There just might be a connection there. If you want to win the battle, you need to check your sleep patterns. Your body primarily produces serotonin, a key neurotransmitter associated with anxiety when you're asleep. Do you know in the 1900s, the average North American got 9 hours of sleep a night? Today, it's six. Wonder if that's contributing to some of our health problems. You know, with my journey, I am the world's, if you know me, I am the world's lightest sleeper. Seriously, I am the world's lightest sleeper. And for me to win the battle over anxiety, one of the things I had to institute into my life is a regular sleep pattern. And boy, did that help. To win the battle, you need to get off your butt and exercise. This is interesting, I didn't know this. The American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, and the American Psychological Association all cite exercise as a first-line treatment for anxiety and depression. First-line treatment. If you struggle with anxiety, you need to exercise. It will help your brain. It'll help your body. It'll help your emotions. And it'll help your sleep. And here's something else. If you want to win the battle over anxiety, you need to take care of your brain. Studies have suggested that there's an imbalance in certain neurotransmitters may play a role in the development of anxiety disorders. That means, you know what that means? You may need to take medication, temporarily or long term. To win your battle, you may need to take medication. We talked about that last week. And part of my journey to victory was going to my doctor and talking to my doctor around this whole subject of anxiety. And him saying to me, your serotonin levels are messed up. And you need to take this pill to help balance the serotonin levels in your brain. Again, there's no shame in getting healthy. Prong number one is you need to take care of yourself physically. You need to look at your diet, your sleep patterns, your exercise, and you may need medication. Prong number two is this, the psychological factor. If you want to win the battle over anxiety, and I know tons of you are struggling with anxiety, I know that for a fact. Here's the second thing. If you want to win the battle, seek to understand the cause of your anxiety. A couple of things around that. Anxiety seems to run in families. Thus, you may want to look at your family history. And I've mentioned before, to win the battle over anxiety, for me, I went to a counselor. I went to Joel at Arbor Counseling. He's awesome. And I went there and I sat there and I explored my family of origin and how my mom's anxiety created an anxious household and how that shaped me. And I sought to understand that, never to place blame, but so that I could become healthy. The other thing I worked on both
good
with
to have
Joel
you here tonight
and on my own and with
and
my
share,
wife, who is very
one
honest
of the things
with me.
We want to do is
trust
move
me?
Through this series is share some videos
I learned,
with you of people
I learned
in our
about
church,
my anxiety.
Struggle
I learned
with,
what
mental
triggered
health
my anxiety.
Some
I learned how my anxiety expressed itself and how
who,
to deal
with
that.
Mental health issues. And recently I had a coffee
and that
with
takes
Kaylee
work.
Lampard. And
there's
we
no instant
about
answers.
And anxiety,
but it's important if you want
to
get
share,
victory to do
so I
the
coerced
work.
Her into doing or coaxed
Let
her
me
into
also
doing
say some of you
and here is
may want to reflect on your formative years. Because here's the deal, if you've experienced abuse, I never
I'm
did when I was growing up, but if you experienced abuse growing up, that may trigger anxiety in your later years.
Thanks for doing this. I know you're nervous.
You may want to get some treatment around that. You may want to get some counseling around that.
Yeah, I work at an elementary school.
Let me also say this. If you want to win the battle against anxiety, you need to work on your thought life.
In our elementary school, so just kindergarten.
Here's the truth. Anxiety is rarely logical. If you notice that in your own life, if my anxiety says there's a danger and you say there isn't, you know who wins? My anxiety, right? For instance, if you are very anxious about flying, and your friend comes along, and you've got a flight, say, in a few weeks, and your friend comes along and says, do you know that flying is the safest way to travel? You nod your head and go, yes, it is. And then you're thinking, 1 in 100,000 planes go down, and I'm going to be on that plane. I have a friend.
Kids are really wrestling with
he is terrified of flying.
I don't think we have time.
Because he thinks that's how he's going to die, in a plane crash. It's always very encouraging to sit next to him on a flight.
What do you think of the top?
As you taxi down the runway, he's saying to you, this is going to be the one. I know it. It's like, why am I sitting with you then? And there's nothing you can do to talk him out of this. He's convinced, baby. He's going down on a flight. Yeah, I try not to fly with him very much. Listen, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 this, that we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus. If you battle anxiety, you need to work on renewing and retraining your mind to focus on the truths of Jesus, not the lies of anxiety. And can I say this? We don't like to hear this today. That takes time and work. And we never like that because we just want instant. Give it to me instantly. Give me a pill. Give me whatever it is. I want to instantly be better. It doesn't work that way with mental health issues.
She said that they would want their parents to put their
and you need to take every thought captive, including those anxious thoughts,
to connect with family.
And let me tell you, it can be done.
That's a huge thing for kids to be able to
Here's what I'll do. I'll just tell you what I do. There's a verse in Matthew 16, you probably know it well, where it talks about denying yourselves, taking up your cross, and following Jesus.
It's hard to learn that.
That word deny has been very important to me. I keep it in my brain.
I think it's so important for parents to know.
When I get thoughts
they're not alone
that are honoring to God, when I get thoughts that are not right, when I get anxious thoughts, I simply say that one word to myself, deny.
I tell parents that
deny.
You know, anxiety, mental health.
And I overcome that thought with that one word, deny.
Not being talked about. It's important that
I'm
going to
deny that thought.
Not only
and I'm going to focus on Jesus.
Of your family, but for the health of you.
It takes work.
And for the health
but I can tell you right now, you can get victory
to talk about it because you talk about
by
it,
retraining
and
your
you
thoughts.
Make it okay to talk about it.
Prong three is this: it's the social factor.
Understanding that your kid really needs
to win the battle over anxiety, you need to open up and have some good people around you. And listen, when people experience anxiety and pressure, what do they try to do? They try to pull away, right? What you need to do at some point is you have to take a risk and you have to open up a little. You need to get some people around you, people that will support you and people that will dumb slap you. Right? You don't need people when you're anxious always coming up and saying, it's okay, you're so wonderful. You need some people to come along and go, snap out of it in a nice way. People that love you, that are close to you, like my wife, who will say to me, what are you doing? Why are you thinking this way?
As much as they try and avoid it,
this is not a good way to think. She supports me, she loves me, but she also challenges me.
Volunteers in the church
to win the battle over anxiety, you need some people around you who are going to love you, who are going to support you, who are going to walk through the journey with you, but are also going to challenge you to help move you in a healthy direction. And here's prong four. I think this is such a key prong. It's the spiritual factor. To win the battle over anxiety, folks, you need to walk with Jesus. You need to walk closely with Jesus. If you want to win the battle over anxiety, you need to do those other things I've talked about, but you got to walk with Jesus. You got to walk closely with him. You got to get into the Word. The Psalms, if you are battling anxiety, just sit in the Psalms for a while. We're going to go to Psalm 127 next week, as I already mentioned.
Thank you for sharing.
There's another great passage that's been really helpful to me in my journey, and it's Matthew chapter 6. Let me read
a bit
of it. Jesus says in Matthew 6:25,
in the back, let's thank her for that.
That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink, or enough clothes to wear.
So here's the question. Do we have any worriers in the room tonight?
Isn't life more than food, and your body more than clothing?
Okay, a few of you are honest. The rest of you aren't.
Jesus
says,
don't worry about your everyday life. And you read that and you go,
easy
for you to say, Jesus.
From time to time.
You're God.
We're in week 3 of our series called Unspoken.
I've always
imagined with faith, emotional,
when,
and
when
mental
the Bible
health
says,
issues.
Don't worry.
We started in week 1.
Do not be afraid.
Defining
thing.
What?
When the Bible says
was,
that, I've always envisioned it as God commanding it. Don't worry.
As far as
don't be afraid. What's wrong with
it? But rather hide
and
it.
I've always seen
the
this as a command.
It.
And
then last
until one day
we
I was reading
the
in the
whole
book
idea
of Luke
that each
and
human
in Luke 12
being
it says this,
fearfully and wonderfully
do not
made,
be afraid,
we're made with a body,
flock,
a soul, and a spirit.
For
and
your Father
is
complex
been
to
beings,
give you the
and
kingdom.
Because we're complex beings, when we
and
deal with mental health
me
issues, we really
that
need
there are two
to
ways
have
to
a
say,
holistic
don't
approach
worry
to treatment. That
don't be afraid.
More than just
one is that commanding,
side,
threatening,
overtone.
You know, don't worry.
It. We need to have a holistic
the other
approach.
Way,
and tonight, we're going to talk about a very common problem, anxiety.
With the aim to
and
comfort.
If you're an anxious person, I want to tell you,
imagine
you are not
dad
alone.
Comes next
the two
to his
most
anxious
prevalent
child.
Mental health issues in
says,
all of North
worry.
America are anxiety
I got
and depression.
This
as I was preparing for
you
this series, I did sort of an informal poll.
And most of
I
the
asked
time,
doctors
if you look
that,
at the Bible,
that I met
when
and counselors
or God,
and other health care professionals
says, don't
and pastors,
worry, don't be afraid.
I said, as you
with
deal with people with mental health
parental
issues, what is the number one mental health issue you deal with?
Let me read the verse again. Do not be afraid, little flock.
Said
for
the
your
same
Father
thing,
has been pleased anxiety to give you the kingdom.
Anxiety, when
notice
you talk about mental health
flock
issues, is way out here. It is number one all by itself. And then over here somewhere would be depression, and then over here somewhere
fatherly
would be the rest of the
in
issues
that verse.
God
so
is
what
both
we're
going to
do for
the
next
3 weeks is we're going to look at anxiety and depression. Tonight we're going to look at anxiety. I'm going to get
God
real practical
is a king
with you. I'm going to get
God
some
sovereignly reigns over his
about
kingdom.
My journey,
he
talk
is
about
in
an amazing
control
passage of scripture, but I want to get
as a
real
father
practical
God comes
with you
close and he
next
says
week, we're
going to
look
worry
at an amazing psalm
I
that
got this
is
one
for people that are dealing with anxiety and or
God,
depression.
God reveals to us
this psalm
his fearful,
is for you. It's Psalm 27.
People,
I wasn't planning
both
on speaking
fatherly
on
love
Psalm 27 during the series,
authority,
but I just feel moved by God to do that. So we're going to do that
we
next
have
week. And then
Heavenly Father
on week 3 of this little
king
bit of anxiety and depression, we're going to talk
we
about
have
depression.
A Heavenly
we're
Father,
very practical about
king
how do we deal
and
with
if you're
depression,
battling
and then we'll
anxiety
go on to some other topics. I want
I
to
want
say
to you
tonight,
to
right out
that
from the front, anxiety has been part of my journey.
That you
and
have a
reasons
Heavenly
for that,
Father,
and I'll share them with you
king,
in a few minutes. But
who comes alongside
to deal
you,
with anxiety
says,
in my life.
You.
I have had to battle with
and
it.
If we've got a Father who's with
side
us, who is king.
So I want to share a little bit of that tonight
reigns
as we go through. But let's start
then
what
with
a definition
anxious about
of anxiety. What is anxiety? The dictionary
it says
defines
in Matthew
anxiety
6,
this way.
Jesus goes on
an
and says, look at
the Father.
He looks after the birds,
and
so he'll look after you.
Outcome.
And then he goes on and he says,
someone
and,
has said
and my Father takes care of the flowers.
And
if he
of
takes care of the flowers,
and
Jesus says,
about
will he not take care of
in
you
in the future?
And
then
Jesus says something that is always based
so
in fear,
true. Verse 27.
Focused
can
on
all
the
your worries at a single
anxiety
moment
is always
to your
based
life
in fear,
and it is focused on the future.
Here's
maybe
the truth
here
I've
learned. And you're looking at the
most of the things
I've been anxious about
bills
never
happen
coming at the beginning of February. And you're
and
anxious
my worry
about
hasn't
whether
made
you'll
have
enough
money
to the
pay
ones
for those
that
bills.
Maybe you're
I mean,
looking
here's
for
something
a significant
to
other, and you've gone
when
on
you're
plenty
anxious
of fish
about tomorrow's
and you've
problems,
got a date in a couple of weeks with
blessings
someone you met online, right? And you're anxious
because you're
about
so wrapped up
person
with anxiety about tomorrow.
Maybe
you miss
got a lump,
the goodness of God today,
and it's been biopsied.
Listen, we can get so
and
caught up with
weeks
what is going to happen tomorrow that we don't enjoy
and
today. And this is the day
is
the Lord has made.
Up.
Let us be glad.
Anxiety
and
is based on
in
fear and always focused on the future.
God says,
like
I want you to
other
focus
mental
on
health
today
issues,
I've
anxiety exists on a spectrum.
between normal.
If you want to win the battle against anxiety, can I give you
a certain amount of anxiety? Is God given?
Here's a key question.
We have anxiety because God created us.
That everyone in this room needs to answer.
Not just those that battle with mental health issues.
I think it's a question all of us need to answer.
It's normal.
And it's this.
I would say,
who am I going
to
trust?
Functional to have a little bit.
Who am I going to trust?
Really think about that.
If
who are you going to trust?
Now,
if I asked you to say Jesus, because that's the Sunday school answer, right?
You have a reason to be anxious.
Ask my wife, ask
Boomer.
They both experienced it. There's a reason for their anxiety.
In verse 31, this.
And while some anxiety,
these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers,
but your heavenly Father already knows your need.
Disorder,
seek the kingdom of God above all else
and
live righteously. And he will give you everything
to the point where it impedes a person's
people who don't follow Jesus
in a normal
seek and trust in the things
life.
Of this world.
Listen, this
people
is
who follow Jesus
anxiety
are supposed
can occur
to
at any age.
Seek and trust
children
in the things of Christ's
disorders.
Kingdom.
Middle-aged people can have anxiety disorders.
If you're a
seniors
Christ follower, Jesus says,
disorders.
I want you to seek me and my kingdom first.
Can be faced with anxiety
so,
that cripples them.
To all of us, I say, who are you seeking?
And maybe tonight you're not dealing with
where?
Anxiety.
But I want to tell
you
trust?
That what I'm going to share is important for you to hear because I
here's
guarantee
something that's
you,
true.
You know
and
someone
anxiety
in your life
reveal
who is
what you treasure and what you
with
trust
anxiety.
In. Here are the four
they expose
most common
your
anxiety
allegiances.
Disorders in North America. There's
they
lots
reveal
of anxiety disorders.
What is valuable
here's the
to
four
you.
Most common ones. Generalized anxiety disorder.
The next time your anxiety
generalized anxiety
is blaring,
disorder is characterized
whether it's
by
something you struggle with or it's just something you occasionally experience,
months.
The next time your
anxiety
disorder,
is
blaring,
is
ask yourself in that moment,
individual's ability
who
to
or
function
what am I
daily?
Trusting in?
Panic disorder. Panic disorder is characterized by reoccurring
panic
attacks.
To find the same thing is to take your top three fears in life
without warning
and ask yourself, what do they say about
me? A panic attack is a distinct period of intense
fear. What do they say about
what
I really want in life?
With physical
symptoms. What do they say about
what
is really important to me?
Shortness of breath.
What do they say about
where
I'm placing
my
feeling
trust.
Of impending doom?
Then
here's
there's
something
I've learned.
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
If I wanted to win
OCD
the battle
is characterized
over anxiety,
by reoccurrent thoughts,
I needed to trust
obsession
in my father
and rituals
and my
compulsions
king above
that
all
people
else.
Feel they cannot control.
For
Matthew
6:33 again,
seek
might
the kingdom of God above all else
and
live righteously, and he will give you everything
of contamination.
You
and
need.
So to combat that fear, that anxiety,
as we start to
they
close
wash
out
their
today,
hands 100
times
a day.
Here's two key questions.
Number
and then
one,
there's post-traumatic stress
will
disorder.
Will you trust the king who is also your
individuals
father?
Individuals with PTSD
will you trust
the king
repeatedly, sorry,
who is also
relive
your father?
A trauma.
Through nightmares and disturbing memories during
I
the
think,
day,
to winning the battle over anxiety,
the reminders
is to
of
commit
the trauma
your life to
are
Jesus
very distressing,
and to really
place
your
trust in Him.
A person's
I'm not talking
daily
about just praying
life.
Some prayer and then going on with life as
and
normal.
If you're here
I mean,
tonight and you deal
putting
with anxiety,
your trust in Him.
If you're here tonight and you know someone that
saying,
deals
Jesus,
with anxiety,
I want to follow you.
I've got some good news.
I want your
and
work
the good news
on the cross
is this,
applied to my life,
all
and I want to trust you.
Is treatable
with everything that I am.
Your life, if you're dealing with anxiety, can be much better
here's the second
than
question.
It is now.
Second question
I know.
Is this.
Will
I
you
have
seek
battled this
and focus
dragon
on the king?
People
will
come to me and they ask me what's one thing
on
I can
king?
Do to overcome my anxiety, and I answer them,
here's,
there
here's
isn't
one more,
one
thing.
And it's the last lesson that I've learned
there
on my
one
journey
thing you can
with
do
anxiety.
To overcome your anxiety.
Because
in the
past,
again,
when I
we're
became
fearfully and wonderfully made, we're
by
complex
anxiety.
Creatures.
It was always when my focus was on my circumstances
do, but there is a first
and not on my God.
You can do.
And what is true
and
of my life
thing
is
you
probably
can do
also
you're combating
your
anxiety is own
when you are gripped by
the first
anxiety,
thing you can do is
you are probably
say,
focusing
face
on your
reality,
circumstances
and I'm
instead
not
of your
gonna
God.
Live like this anymore.
And I want to encourage
you. I am
you
not gonna be captive
that you have
to
my
choice.
Anxiety.
I'm gonna do
and the
battle
choice
with
in the moment when you're facing
I came
anxiety
to that point in my
is
life
where
several
are you gonna place
ago.
Your focus?
Are you gonna place your
some
focus
stuff
on
happened
your worries,
and I finally
are you
said
place
that's
your
it.
Focus on your God.
I'm not gonna live like this anymore.
Now you might need some of those friends.
I'm not
to gonna help
let anxiety impact me
but
anymore.
Where are you going to place your focus?
I am going to do something
When I start to feel anxious, and at times I still do, the first thing I do is ask myself, where is my focus?
Acknowledge you got a problem and say I'm going to do battle with it.
That's the first thing I do.
Now, I think to win the battle against anxiety,
you need a four-pronged
battle plan. A four-pronged battle plan to win the battle.
Now, let me define win.
You can win the battle over anxiety.
Will be total victory
again,
over anxiety.
Again, for some of you, it may be a partial victory.
You're struggling with anxiety.
For some of you, it will be a full victory.
You're going to do battle with the dragon, and you're going to
get total victory
in that battle.
For others of you, you're going
to
do battle with the dragon,
and you're
going to
get partial victory.
Let me also say to you,
don't be ashamed
of your brokenness.
Your anxiety is going to
be
like Paul's thorn in the flesh. It's going to be with you
the rest of your
days. And
I've said this almost every time for the
last
week. But even
if that's you, I want to tell
you,
you can
do battle
and you can
get mental health issues. It will
achieve
part of its
goal. But you're
going
to get some victory.
We need to be a church
that
welcomes
people
wherever
they are
on their
journey. It's the physical factor.
Don't be ashamed of your brokenness, but also,
if you want to win the battle over anxiety,
the first thing you need to do is check your
diet.
Don't
be ashamed of it, but don't be
captive. If you're drinking 5 Red Bulls a day and you're wondering why you're anxious,
just might be a connection there.
Owner, say, I'm struggling with this.
Secondly, if you want
to
win the battle over anxiety,
I'm just going to throw up
last patterns.
Here's my journey.
You may or may not know this, but your body primarily produces serotonin.
That's Steve's
a
battle plan.
Neurotransmitter.
That's my
associated
my battle
with
plan.
Anxiety.
Number one is
while you sleep.
Face the reality. I got a problem
in
with anxiety. Number
two,
see
North
my doctor.
American got 9 hours
number
of sleep
three,
a night.
See a counselor.
Today,
number
they get
four,
six.
Work on my diet, exercise, and sleep.
I wonder
number
if
five,
that
stay connected 3 hours
sleep
friends.
Difference.
Number six, listen to my wife.
I wonder if that impacts
that's
our
been
anxiety
a great one.
Levels.
No, she calls me out.
Our emotional
Lord,
health,
she called
our
me out.
Health.
And that is really helpful.
You know, my wife will tell you,
really
I am
helpful.
The world's lightest sleeper.
Focus on the truths of Jesus, not the lies of anxiety.
And for
and
me
walk
to win my battle over anxiety,
with
one
Jesus.
Of the things I had to do is examine my sleep patterns.
Get close to him.
And make sure I got into
and
a
he
regular
will draw
pattern for
you.
Sleep.
And you may
you
have to do
victory.
The same
trust
thing.
Let's pray.
If you want to win the battle over anxiety,
for your
you
got to
check your diet
in Matthew 6. Thank you,
you gotta
for Psalm 127 next
thirdly,
week.
You got to get some exercise.
God, I just pray that
did you
as
know
we
I didn't
speak
know this,
about
the American
you
Medical
into our lives as our Father,
the American
our
Psychiatric Association,
God, that
would
be transformative not just in people who deal with anxiety, but
all
in all of our lives, that we'll realize that Father, all of us are broken in some way.
Treatment.
All of us are dealing
a
with
first
stuff.
Line treatment for anxiety and depression.
And if you come alongside,
someone came up to me.
After the service,
and your
today,
Holy Spirit
and,
comes
and there's
inside
somebody that
minister
deals
to us,
with people with mental health
that can bring
issues
transformation.
Professionally. And they said, for this
but God,
type
I pray
of mental
we'll
health
also realize
problem that they deal with, they said the first thing we do
that we need a holistic
the first
approach.
Thing we do is get the person exercising.
And then we need to deal with the
and
physical and the psychological
anxiety,
and
I want
the
to suggest
social
you one
well,
of the most important
because,
things
Father,
you can do
you have created
to
us to be fearfully and wonderfully
it will help
made.
Your brain,
body,
it'll help your body, it'll help your emotions, it'll help your sleep.
And God, I just pray
and
for
I'd
those
also say
that struggle with anxiety.
Factor, if you
want to
win the
right
battle
now,
against
many,
anxiety, you
got to
take care of your brain.
That God, you will set the captives
studies
free.
Studies have suggested that an imbalance
that,
of
that your
certain
spirit will prod some people this morning
like
to first of all just own that they have
may
a problem.
Play a role in the development and the continuation of anxiety.
And Father, if
disorders.
Those people are not close to you, that you'll draw
when
them.
When I decided
to
I was
going to
battle the dragon, that I was going to face reality,
and then
and
God,
I
not pray that,
live like
that,
this the rest
that you
of my
will
days.
Bring people into their lives that will support
the first
them
call I
and
made
challenge them
doctor.
And help them on their
went
journey
to my doctor
towards
and
freedom.
Told him what was going on. We had a few appointments. Did a few things, and,
Father,
and then
I
he
thank
said
you
to me,
for
your
people
serotonin
you placed in my
levels
in
your
brain
there
for
mess.
Me.
They're out of balance.
Father, I pray that we as a church can do
I
it
need
for
you
others.
To take some pills for a while to balance.
May there be a
serotonin
spirit of
levels.
Honesty growing in this place.
And you may need to do the same thing.
May stigma and shame
as
be
I said
replaced
to you last week,
with
there's
health
no shame
and
in
taking medication.
And you
may we look
you
to
may
you,
not,
but you may need to do that.
Our great King and God.
So the first
in
prong
Jesus' name.
Is the physical
Amen.
Prong. Look at your diet. Look at your sleep patterns. Get some exercise. And then talk to your physician about the possibility that you may need medication. Here's the second prong. The second prong is a psychological factor. If you want to win the battle against anxiety, you need to understand the cause of your anxiety. What is causing you to be anxious?
Anxiety tends to run in families. Thus, you may want to look, if you're an anxious person, at your family history. My second call when I decided that I was going to win the battle was to a counselor I knew, a good counselor. And I went and I talked to this counselor. And one of the things I wanted to talk to him about was my family of origin. I mentioned to you earlier that I grew up in an anxious family. My mom is an anxious person, and that anxiety was prevalent in my growing up environment. And so I went to this counselor and I said, I want to know how growing up in that environment has affected me now so that I can deal successfully with my situation. You see, looking back at my childhood and my growing up years wasn't to assign blame, it was to gather understanding. The other thing I did when I wanted to expand my understanding is I did some reading because I like to read. I talked to the counselor. I had some great conversations with my wife to understand what was causing my anxiety, where the triggers to my anxiety were, and how it was being acted out. And I now, because of that work, have a really, really good understanding of myself. I know where my anxiety comes from, I know what triggers my anxiety, and I know how my anxiety plays out. And when you understand all that, you are a long way down the road to getting victory. Also, if you want to win the battle, here's the second thing under the psychological factor, you need to work on your thought life. Here's the truth, anxiety is rarely logical. Anxiety is rarely logical. If my anxiety says that there's a danger, and you come to me and say there isn't, guess who's going to win? My anxiety. You may be here tonight. This is not true of me, but maybe it's true of you. Maybe you're one of those people who get very anxious when you think of flying somewhere. And maybe you're planning a trip and you've got a flight in a couple of weeks and you're totally anxious about getting on this plane. And a friend comes up to you and says, you know what? Flying is the safest way to travel. And what you're thinking is, yeah, it's the safest way to travel, but you know what? One in a million planes go down, and that flight in 2 weeks, that's going to be the one. That's the way you think. I got a buddy. And he thinks he's going to die in a plane crash. Boy, is he a joy to fly with. You'll be sitting there next to him, and you're going down the runway, and it's picking up speed, and he'll look at you and say, this is the one. We're about to die. It's so good to fly with him. Such an encourager. But you can say whatever you want to him, but he is convinced he's going down in a plane. It says in 2 Corinthians 10 this, take every thought. Not some thoughts. Take every thought captive and make it obedient to Jesus. If you battle anxiety, here's something you need to do. You need to retrain your mind to focus on the truths of Jesus, not the lies of anxiety. If you battle anxiety, you need to retrain your mind to focus on the truths of Jesus, not the lies of anxiety. And listen, and we hate this part, that takes time and work. And we just want to wake up, get better, right? We just like, give me a pill, make me better, and I'm off I go. It doesn't work that way with this. It doesn't work that way with any mental health issue. It takes time. It takes work. But I want to tell you, you can do it because I've done it. You can do it. I'll tell you how I did it, and maybe it'll be a help to you. It might not be the way you do it, but it's the way I did it. In Matthew 16:24, there's a verse that says, deny yourself and take up your cross. And one day in my devotions, I'm reading that verse, and that word deny just popped off the page. And I thought, that's it. And I got that word in my brain, and I've kept that word in my brain. So every time I get an improper thought or an anxious thought, I just think deny. Instantly, my brain thinks deny. And then I think about a truth about Jesus instead. So every time I get an anxious thought, my brain goes, deny, and I think about a truth. Now, has that been an easy process? No, it's taken time, of course. But now I'm at the point where I get victory over my thoughts because I'm trying to take my thoughts captive and not allow them to run my life. And so I've got that single word, deny. It's in my brain. and it works. And so there's the physical prong, there's the psychological prong, and here's a third one, there's a social prong. There's a social factor. To win the battle, you need to open up and get some good people around you. Now, here's what happens. When you're battling mental health issues, but especially when you're battling anxiety, depression, or anything like that, you know what your tendency is? A tendency is to go inward and back away from people and hide in your room and watch TV or whatever. It's just to get away from people. And you need to force yourself to do the counterintuitive thing, and you need to step out and welcome people into your life. Not a lot of people, but you need to get a few people in your life who are going to do this. They're going to support you, they're going to walk with you, and they're going to dumb slap you. Because the last thing you need in your life is people that come along with you anxious and just go, it's okay. It's all, oh, you'll be at all better. You need people that will come alongside you and go, I'm here, I care about you, I'm going to support you, I'm going to walk with you. Your thinking is messed up. Straighten it out. You need that. You need that. My wife is awesome at this with me. In fact, we have one word. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but we have one word. And if my anxious thoughts start to be verbalized, she looks at me and says this one word, and it instantly makes me turn my thoughts around. She won't put up with it for a second. And that's what you need. You need someone in your life who's going to love you, support you, but also challenge you. And so there's the physical factor, there's the psychological factor, and there's the social factor. And then fourthly, the fourth prong is the spiritual factor. I would say to you, to win the battle over anxiety, you need to walk with Jesus. I don't know how you can win the battle over anxiety without walking with Jesus. That has been one of the key factors in my success, has been walking with Jesus. It's not the only factor, but it's a key factor. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're dealing with mental health issues, if you're dealing with anxiety, get into the Psalms. I'm going to recommend a book next week, a devotional book, if you're dealing with this stuff, that will just bless your life. That's my teaser for you to come back next week. We're going to look at Psalm 27 next week. It's going to speak to you if you're dealing with this kind of stuff. There's another passage in the Sermon on the Mount that's been very meaningful to me, Matthew 6:25. It says this. That is why I tell you, do you not to worry. Sorry, I'll try that again. I messed that up. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Jesus says to us here, don't worry about everyday life. And I used to think, that's easy for you to say, Jesus. You're not the one worrying. And I also used to imagine that when Jesus said, don't worry about everyday life, or when God said throughout the Bible, do not be afraid. Do you know that's the most common command to us in the Bible? Do not be afraid. Both the same thing. Don't worry, do not be afraid. It's the same thing. And I always used to imagine God saying it like an authoritarian, in a commanding way. Don't worry. Smarten up. That's how I used to think God was saying it to us. Like, don't worry. Come on. But then one day I read Luke 12. There's an amazing verse. Let me read it to you. Jesus is speaking. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And I read that verse and it dawned on me that there are two ways to think about do not be afraid, don't worry. One is with a commanding, threatening overtone that I just mentioned, but the other way is as a parent, giving encouragement with the aim to comfort. You know, you've got a dad and you've got a child and the child's really anxious and dad comes alongside the child and puts his arm around the child and says, child, you don't need to be anxious. I'm here. I've got this one. I'm with you. In that moment, the child's anxiety drops because dad's there. And this is the same thing. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. No, notice the words, little flock, Father. This is both, there is both kingly imagery, and fatherly imagery in this verse. God is both a father and a king. God is a king. He is sovereign. He reigns over his kingdom. He really is in control. And then he's a father. Someone who comes close and says, don't worry. God reveals to us his fearful, anxious people, both his fatherly love and his kingly authority. Listen, if you follow Jesus, you have a heavenly Father who is king. And if you're struggling with anxiety, I want to encourage you to reflect on that truth, that you have a heavenly Father who is king. And Jesus goes on in Matthew 6 to say that if the Father looks after the birds, he will look after you. And if the Father takes care of the flowers, he will also take care of you. And then Jesus says something that is oh so true. Look at verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Here's a truth I've learned. Most things I worry about have never happened. And the things I have worried about that have happened, my worry hasn't made any difference. Here's something to remember. When you're anxious about tomorrow's problems, you miss today's blessings. When you're anxious about tomorrow's problems, you miss today's blessings. You can get so caught up with what is going to happen tomorrow that you don't enjoy today. And the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And see, God says to us, I want you to live for today. I'll take care of tomorrow, little one. If you want to win the battle against anxiety, here's a key question you must answer. Well, I think all of us have to answer this question, but we're looking at it in the context of anxiety tonight. Here's the question. Who am I going to trust? Bottom line, who are you going to trust? Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 31, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. People who don't follow Jesus seek and trust in the things of the world. People who follow Jesus are supposed to, at least, seek and trust in the things of Christ and his kingdom. They are to seek first Jesus and his kingdom. And so let me ask you tonight, let me ask all of you, what are you seeking? Where are you placing your trust? Have you ever thought about this? Here's the truth. Fear and anxiety reveal what you treasure, what you trust in. They expose your allegiances. They reveal what is valuable to you. Next time your anxiety is blaring, whether you're just a person who has it temporarily every now and then, like on the normal side, or whether you have a disorder, the next time your anxiety is blaring, ask yourself in the midst of that this question, in who or what am I trusting in this moment? When your anxiety is blaring, asking, in who am I trusting or in what am I trusting in this moment? Or another way of finding out the same thing is, ask yourself, what are your top three fears? And then look at those top three fears and ask yourself, what do they say about me? What do they say about what I really want? What do they say about what's really important to me? What do they say about where I'm placing my trust? Here's something I learned from my journey anyway. If I wanted to win the battle over anxiety, I needed to trust my Father and my King. Above all else, I needed to trust Jesus. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And so as we start to close out tonight, here's two questions I want to leave you with. Number one, will you trust the King who is also your Father? Will you trust the King who is also your Father? The key to winning the battle is to commit your life to Jesus and place your trust in Him. I'm not talking about praying some flimsy prayer and then going on and living life however you want. I'm talking about saying, Jesus, I really want to follow you. I'm going to place my trust in you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to surrender to you. Second question is, will you seek and focus on the King? Will you seek and focus on the King? Here's one more lesson I've learned on my journey. It's the last one I'll share with you tonight. In the past, when I became consumed by anxiety, it was always because my focus was on my circumstances and not on my God. And what is true in my life is probably true in your life. When you are gripped by anxiety and worry, you are probably focusing on your circumstances and not on your God. Every one of us has a choice. We can focus on our circumstances, we can focus on our worries, or we can lift our eyes and focus on Jesus. And when I start to feel anxious, and at times I still do, the first thing I do, there's other things I do, but the very first thing I do is ask myself, where is my focus? And the chances are, my focus is on my circumstances, not on my God. I want to say to you tonight, as I've said other times, don't be ashamed of your brokenness. Everyone in this room is broken. Some of them look very pious and religious, but we're all broken people. Every single one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made, and every single one of us is marred by sin. We are broken. Here's what I want you to know if you battle anxiety. Don't be captive to your brokenness. Don't be captive to your anxiety. Don't play the victim card. You're only a victim because you choose to be a victim. You can do battle with the dragon, and you can either have total victory or partial victory. But here's what I can guarantee you. When you decide to do battle with the dragon of anxiety, your life will be better now, better in the future than it is right now. Please don't allow yourself to be held captive to your mental health issues. Acknowledge your brokenness and do something about it. Here's my battle plan. Once again, throw up the last slide. Here's my battle plan. It works for me. Maybe it will be healthy for you. First thing I did was I faced the reality. I got a problem. I need to get some help. Second thing I did was see my doctor. Third thing I did was see a counselor. No shame in seeing a counselor. None. Number four, work on my diet. You see, well, that's gone. Work on exercise and sleep. Stay connected with friends. Listen to my wife. Because she is one person who can speak directly to me in a very direct way, and it works really well. Focus on the truths of Jesus, not the lies of anxiety. Deny, that's my word. And walk closely with Jesus. That's my battle plan. Yours might be a bit different, but here's the deal. Please don't let anxiety win in your life. Do battle with the dragon. Partner with Jesus. And let Him set the captive free. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that You're the God who wants to set the captive free. And Father, I just pray for anyone who's struggling with this issue tonight in this room, that they will just own it tonight, that they will admit they got a problem. And as they do that, I pray Your Spirit would empower them to create a battle plan that they can walk with You and others and implement that plan so that in a month, 2 months, 3 months, they will be in a way better place than they are now. Father, You want to set us free. You've made each one of us fearfully and wonderfully. And we thank You that You look down on us and You say to each one of us that we are valued, we are loved, and we are beloved. And because of that, God, You want us to become the people that You want us to be. And for some in this room, Lord, they're going to, whatever their mental health issue is, they're going to get total victory and freedom. For others, whatever the issue is, it's going to be Paul's thorn in the side. They're going to have to learn to deal with it and battle with it for the rest of their days. But may they not do that alone. May they do that in Your power. I just pray God will turn to You and will seek You first and seek Your kingdom. And as we do that, may You set us free. In Jesus' name, amen.